The Old Testament reading is out of the 84th Psalm this morning, verses 1 through 4. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be praising thee. We are in John chapter 14 this morning. I will begin with verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I was driving down from Lakeland this morning. I was pondering the sermon. By the way, this is a different sermon than one I preached in Lakeland today. One down there, it has a different thing. I said, if I preach this one in Lakeland, they would have thought I lost my mind. But anyway, but I was thinking about, so, there's no insult on the cantata, by the way. I didn't want to make you think that. But I wanted something more appropriate for this message, the theme of today. But I was thinking on the way down here, something that happened to Christ during this, begin on Palm Sunday. Do you know everybody was trying to tell him what to do? You think about it. The disciples were, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. I mean, they were telling him what he couldn't do and what he could do. It always reminds me, I don't know if you've ever read a book. It was written by Catherine Marshall on her husband called A Man Called Peter. It came out years ago. One of the best biographies I ever read. But there's one quote in that book that has always stood out. And I think I'm going to put that on my headstone at the graveyard one of these days. Peter Marshall said, if there's one thing I can't stand, it's somebody telling me something for my own good. Have you ever had that happen? Somebody just want to say something to you? Well, you know. And so I think Christ was in that category that week. I mean, especially beginning with Palm Sunday, even before. If you read the Gospels, you will see where a lot of people tried to give him $1.98 advice. It was cheap. Advice can be cheap if it's not well thought out. But this passage of Scripture I read is one of the most beloved portions found in the Bible. I read it out of the King James Version because it's the most familiar. And I don't know how many funerals I've done through the years where this has been the second most requested verse. Verses, the 23rd Psalm, of course. These verses here in the Gospel of John give us hope and comfort and confidence to all who hear it. When Christ spoke these one powerful words, it was meant to alleviate the fear of abandonment that his disciples felt about their unknown future. In this particular passage, Christ was already charting out their GPS. He was not going to leave them dangling on anything. Christ explained how events would soon take place in plain, simple, and clear language. When communications become scrambled or difficult to comprehend, guess what? Confusion erupts. And God is not the author of confusion. Christ assures us that we shouldn't fret on these matters because God has already made the arrangements. Just think about that. Worry can do some lethal harm if we permit it to do so. God is our safety net, but we must first trust God. If we cannot trust God, then all is lost. Now, you're looking at the patron saint of worrywarts. I don't know how many times, not this week, Purdue, but a few weeks ago, there was every little thing coming up I worried my little head off about. And I didn't hear an audible voice from God, but God assured me, and it's speaking to me in my heart, said, Anthony, haven't I got you through a lot, everything, every crisis you've ever been through? Haven't I walked you through it? And when it was over, you'll say, well, it wasn't so bad. But most of the time, I'm like that person. You've seen those old pirate movies where somebody was made to walk the plank. And I'm always standing there just ready to think I'm going to fall into the ocean anytime. But God is always there. God has never let me down. God will never let you down. Even though we may have some doubts, is the arm of the Lord long enough? Yes, the arm of the Lord is long enough. So a lot of times we're not for sure what to do. And it's scary. It's a fearful thing. But if we would always remember about that God will take care of us. How much confidence did those sailors hold with Columbus when the Niña Pinta and Santa Maria let sail from Spain toward the western horizon in 1492? Well, remember, people back then believed that the world was flat. They say there's still some people who believe that today. Those sailing ships, according to the navigational charts of the era, could possibly fall off the face of the earth. Well, now we think it's laughable now, but this view was of the flat earth was taken very seriously in the closing days of the Middle Ages. From the beginning, Christ urged his disciples to not only trust God, but to trust in Christ as the Son of God. Have you noticed that when a church calls a new preacher, comparisons will inevitably be made with the previous parson who left after 20 decades of service? However, it may take years for some in the congregation to accept the change and build up trust. It took a while for the disciples to build up trust in Christ. You have to remember that. But trust is the key word. For example, a preacher friend of mine, David, he was doing some research on his PhD and traveled to the notable First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. He studied the historical records in the church library and became good friends with the church librarian. The librarian mentioned that Dr. W.A. Criswell had been at the church since 1945. Now, this was 1991, so it's been a while back. And some people continued to remind Dr. Criswell, Dr. Truett never did it that way. George Truett had been dead since 1944. Huh, if there's one thing I can't stand, it's somebody telling me something for my own good. Remember, a lot of times you will be reminded, but always remember, God is still in control. God is there for us. In a nutshell, Palm Sunday and Maundy Thursday were all within the shadow of the cross, which was rapidly approaching. The Last Supper had concluded with all the prophetic and foreboding shadows. Judas departed from the upper room and sold Christ down the river for 30 pieces of silver, then later committed suicide. Simon Peter made a bold but shallow guarantee of his loyalty to Christ, a promise that would not last long. Thinking of this song that's come up, it's a bird, you know, a thing. Sparrow, you just think of what Christ said. If God takes care of the birds of the air, won't God take care of us as well? I think so. I think so. But the disciples' dream of a bright and promising future had suddenly become a frightening nightmare. Dashed to pieces, soon to happen there. Jesus Christ, on whose presence so much depended and whose fellowship they so delighted, was going away. They actually didn't know where he was going, even though he had told them for 3 years. But they still, you know, like some people go through one ear and out the other. You know, that's what happens a lot of times. We may hear something, but do we actually listen? We hear something, but do we actually listen? So the revelry of Palm Sunday with its exuberance and carnival-like atmosphere had evaporated. In my other sermon, I titled the sermon The Big Parade. You'll get that sermon next year. But it's called The Big Parade. It really was a big parade. Because 2 million people were in Jerusalem for Passover. That's a lot of people. Can you imagine 2 million people here in Bartow? Wouldn't that be a fun thing to be Orlando and Miami combined? I mean, it would be chaotic. And guess what? The Romans were nervous. They didn't have enough of garrisons to, even if something happened. And remember, Palestine was the most volatile province in the Roman Empire. If you went there as the royal governor, you really were earning your shekels. Listen, they were really, I mean, it was a very difficult position to hold. Then on the other end, you had the religious leaders who were concerned too what was going to happen. This fellow's coming in, is he a revolutionary? Is he going to start a riot and try to overthrow the Roman government? And also, their power and position would be swept away because the Romans would paint them all with the same brush. They would just be shoved to the side. So they were territorial. And you know what happens when you corner a cat? What happens? A little scratching here and there? Of course, my cat was declawed, so I didn't get scratched. But the thing about it is, they were about everybody was on their tiptoes. This was a very nerve-wracking time for everyone in Jerusalem. But most of the people were having a great time, including the disciples. And so the disciples, however, were not exactly sure of Christ's destination and uncertain about their own future. But it was a time of a carnival-like atmosphere, so who really cared? But people find themselves today confronted with challenges, trials, and chaos daily. In despair, the world, like the disciples, continued to ask, how can we know the way? Christ gave them the assurance that circumstances had been arranged for all who sincerely seek God in their lives. Sounds like Christ was a Presbyterian, didn't it? How may society know about the wonderful bliss to be found in God for eternity? Well, a few years ago, churches of all persuasions were involved in outreach programs to help alleviate the spiritual poverty and the physical suffering that so-called societal materialism was supposed to have provided. But Christianity can still be a dynamic force for the billions of people throughout the world who need something more than just a pat on the back. Jesus Christ holds the treasures of heaven and eternity, but the church today treats it as a big secret. We have a tremendous wealth. And I'm not talking about your bank account at Wells Fargo. I'm talking about the spiritual wealth that we have in Jesus Christ. So it's time to let the rabbit out of the hat and notify people that there's an alternative to the negative news so highlighted in the newspapers, radio, television, or even the gossip fence. Can the spirit of Palm Sunday ever be recaptured? I personally think it can. But it requires a major ingredient to the recipe. And you know what it is? H-O-P-E. Hope. That's what it requires, is hope. Desiring a mansion in heaven? You know, I'd settle for a camper just inside the pearly gates, to tell you the truth. Bishop Wilberforce of the Church of England, I had to bring an Episcopalian in because, you know, they have some good quotes, said about 200 years ago, have you lost your way, dear friend? Take the first step and go straight ahead to Jesus Christ. If you've not already done so, will you not do it now? Shall we pray? Our gracious God, on this Palm Sunday, we do seek hope because sometimes it's very fleeting. And we're not for sure, O Lord, at times where we can find it. But we can find it through your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us when our faith falters and look out for us as we know you will. Through Christ our Savior, we pray. Amen.